This is the Pundits Podcast, sponsored by BetBright.
Another weekend in the Premier League and another thumping win for Man City. They look pretty unstoppable right now. It's 29 goals in 8 games. I think a big part of that is Kevin De Bruyne. How good is he? Is he the best player in the Premier League right now?
I'd say he's the most informed player in the Premier League. And you always felt like he had this this in him. He's an exceptional player. You look back to when Chelsea sold him and you think, what the hell were they thinking about? Because it was obvious he was a good player back then as well. I'm sure Stefan will speak about how well he did in Germany, but it was obvious he was an excellent player there as well. He's quickly becoming the face of this Manchester City team. And I think that was a question last season with Pep Guardiola, who are the defining figures in this team? And Kevin De Bruyne has grown into one of those defining figures. There's a couple others as well. Gabriel Jesus, I'm thinking, is a defining figure of this team. But De Bruyne is the guy who makes them tick. And Pep Guardiola always, he needs someone like that in each of his teams. You saw that in Barcelona and Bayern Munich, and he's becoming that guy for Man City.
Yeah, he is. I mean, it's an old term, but he is the playmaker to an extent. You know, I mean, under David Silva's still there, and he's doing a comparable job as well. But, you know, Silva's not getting any younger, and if Pep's building a squad around one player, it's going to be De Bruyne, and I think that's what's happened. I think, you know, we've seen Saturday, to me, I know there's been good performances in the past, but that was maybe the first time this season where we're like, right, this is now finally Pep Guardiola's Man City team. I know, you know, they've had his own players for a while now, but they were playing like a Pep Guardiola team and they were dominating like a Guardiola team. You know, I think one of the real key characteristics of Guardiola's teams when they start clicking is that they're just so utterly ruthless. And that's how they looked on Saturday. And at the heart of that is De Bruyne. You know, he's one of the best. I think he might be leading the team, that squad, in key passes this season for them. He's second in assists behind maybe De Bruyne.
Behind himself. That's how good he is. Yeah. He's second behind players. Himself.
David Silva. Talking about ruthless bloody hell, guys. He is quite literally, well, not literally, but he's pulling the strings in that squad. And around him, he's got excellent goal scorers. And, you know, Jesus, Aguero, Sané, and others as well. So it just fits and it makes sense right now.
I mean, you kind of mentioned it there, how important he is. How vital is he to this team? Hypothetically, if he was to get injured, would we see a massive dip in Manchester City's form?
That's the one thing I would say is I don't see who replaces De Bruyne in that Man City team, because while David Silva is traditionally a similar type of player to Kevin De Bruyne, they're playing in two different positions, and that's been the biggest progression in De Bruyne over the past season. It used to be the two of them on the edge of the box. Now you've got David Silva playing on the edge of the box with three strikers essentially ahead of him, and you've got Kevin De Bruyne. You've jinxed me now. Kevin De Bruyne going through the midfield, picking it up deep. That's one of the things I've noticed about him is he picks the ball up almost just in front of the back four and drives it forward. That's not what Kevin De Bruyne used to do, or not what he used to do most prominently anyway. So I don't know who plays that position, because I think they've tried Yaya Toure there. I personally can't see Yaya Toure doing that. I don't really know why he's still at Man City, to be honest. Ilkay Gundogan could maybe do it, but obviously injuries just seem to have completely cursed him at Manchester City so far.
Yeah, he is. He's almost like a box-to-box player. I think the temptation with De Bruyne for most coaches is to play him as a number 10, because he's obviously got the technical ability, and when you look at him on paper, he's a guy who scores goals and creates goals. But I think he's far better when he's given the freedom to move around the pitch as a number 10 or as a box-to-box player, so he can start plays and then he can I think he's one of those players that likes having the game in front of him to an extent. Mm-hmm. Even though he's obviously an outstanding player and you could play him off a striker or on either wing as well.
So how much has he changed, and how much is that changed down to Pep Guardiola? Like, even compared to last season, how much is he a different player than he was then?
I don't think he's any different from the way he was in the Bundesliga. What I'm seeing him doing at Man City is what he was doing at Wolfsburg, and you know what he was doing at Werder Bremen as well, I guess, to an extent as well. I think what has changed is that he's finally been allowed to do what he's good at. Like I said, you know, his temptation is to play him as a number 10, especially for Guardiola. And he's now comfortable playing the style of football that he wants to play. That might sound like a criticism of me suggesting that Guardiola hasn't played him. I think it's perhaps more a case that Guardiola's had to, you know, fix other parts of the squad before he could then, before it all clicked into place, and then De Bruyne was able to play that central role.
Guardiola's installed him as the central piece in this team, and it took a little while with Pellegrini before as well, who used to use Kevin De Bruyne on the left, which just seems like such a waste. What is it about excellent Bundesliga playmakers who come over to England and everyone seems to play them on the left or right? Kagawa and Mkhitaryan as well always used to get planted out in the wing. But he's become the central figure in this Manchester City team. And the thing that's been quite impressive for me with Kevin De Bruyne is his character and his mentality. He's really strong mentally, which when you hear an interview with him, he's quite softly spoken and not your most conventional footballer. So you think maybe he's not going to be that character, but on the pitch, he's so mentally strong and he's so confident in himself. And I just think, as I've said already, he is becoming the face and the defining figure of this team under Guardiola.
That's an interesting point, because if you actually look at his career, I wouldn't go so far as to say that he's had to prove himself twice, but he moved to Chelsea and then for one reason or another, perhaps unfairly on him, it didn't really work out. So he had to go to Germany and almost prove himself once again. Mm-hmm. And he did that. And then another huge club came along and bought him. Before Man City signed, and there was talk in Germany of Bayern Munich signing him, until the point where they said, look, we're not going to buy him. If there's a confidence there, it's well deserved, because not only did he, earn his place by moving to Chelsea in the first place, but he's done it all over again at Man City.
And obviously you know about him at Wolfsburg and how he was as a player there. Are you surprised he's been able to adapt to the English game as well as he has?
No, not at all. I think that both leagues are comparable in terms of quality. I think the Bundesliga, players coming from the Bundesliga are quite well equipped to play in the Premier League because they're used to a very high pace of play, very physical as well. And at Wolfsburg, he really was, the key man. That team was built around him, much as the way this Man City team now is. So, he's used to having that responsibility. He's used to having the pressure of trying to win a title as well, even though Wolfsburg didn't. It's as simple as that, really. He's a fantastic player who can build a squad around, and he's quite happy, as Graeme says, just taking on that pressure and providing the goods.
Yeah, and Guardiola, going back to his character, Guardiola always kind of latches on to very strong personalities in teams. I mean, you need to be a strong personality to survive under Pep Guardiola, from what we hear about his coaching methods and the pressure. I think he puts a lot of pressure on his players to carry out his methods and ways, and De Bruyne just seems to take it all on board.
Yeah, if I could add something else to that as well. I mean, Graeme mentioned at the top of the show about, players in his former squads. I think De Bruyne is quite comparable to maybe Thiago Alcantara and Philipp Lahm at Bayern Munich, in the sense that Guardiola used to wax lyrically about the way that both of them were just such smart players, and obviously Iniesta, Xavi, players like that at Barcelona too. I think again, this is why him and De Bruyne works well, because not only De Bruyne is a fantastic player physically and technically, but he's also a really, really smart player.
Well, that's what I was going to ask, is what Guardiola's doing with De Bruyne, is that something new, or is it following a model that Pep's had at Bayern and Barca before?
From what I saw at Bayern Munich, it's adapting what he had at Bayern Munich. Going back to his Barcelona time, I don't think there's a player in that Barcelona team who is the same player as Kevin De Bruyne is for this Manchester City team. And I actually think that's you need to give credit to Guardiola for that. That shows there's always been this question about Guardiola, whether he's a one-trick pony and whether he could adapt his own style. I think De Bruyne's success has been a direct playmaker driving through midfield in the mould of nobody at Barcelona, and that great Barcelona team shows that Guardiola is adapting as a coach as well. So there's no one in that Barcelona, that famous Barcelona midfield, Busquets, Xavi, Iniesta, I don't think he's like any of those. I would actually compare him to a player on the other side of that rivalry in Spain, in Luka Modric. I think he's maybe the closest to Kevin De Bruyne at the moment. The way he picks up the ball from deep, drives through midfield, and then he becomes a playmaker in the middle. So Luka Modric light, and I only say light at the moment because Luka Modric has been the best at that for years and years. I think in this form, Kevin De Bruyne could actually become the best player in that position.
I mean, at the moment, I know it's very early in the season and people will be annoyed that we're jumping to conclusions potentially, but is he leading the kind of pack for Player of the Year at the moment? Is there anybody close to him?
I think one of the really interesting parallels for me that I've noticed so far in the league is that there's two standouts. Graeme might disagree with this, but there's De Bruyne at Man City, who I think is really pulling the strings and leading that team. And then you've got Mkhitaryan at Man United as well. And I think they're both kind of comparable in the way they play. They're both the playmakers, they're scoring goals, they're bringing in the key passes as well. And I think depending on how the two of them go on to play for the rest of the season, might define how their teams go on to play, and then may conclude who actually goes on to win the Premier League title.
Yeah, there's no doubt Mkhitaryan's been excellent, although I actually saw a few Man United fans getting on his back a couple of weeks ago, which I thought was very strange because he's been excellent. I think a lot of the success of Lukaku has been down to Henrik Mkhitaryan. I would draw another comparison with, and you, I think you both know who I'm going to say, is Paul Pogba. Paul, and I think that illustrates the contrast between Guardiola's team and Mourinho's team. They play in relatively similar positions. You know, Pogba's given more of an attacking freedom this season because of Nemanja Matic. But you look at De Bruyne and Pogba, and they're completely different players in that, you know, Kevin De Bruyne is very technical, and Paul Pogba isn't actually that technical, and he's all about physicality and midfield. So everywhere you look at those Man City and Man United teams, they're in complete contrast to each other, and I think it's embodied by how Pogba and De Bruyne face off. And I think Pogba, as much as Mkhitaryan is almost a difference maker, I feel a lot of Man United relies on Paul Pogba. He's been injured for a few weeks, and I think it's no coincidence that Man United are just starting to maybe run it a little bit of steam. So if you're asking me, is there another player who is as important to a team in the Premier League, I'm going to say Harry Kane for one, and I'm going to say Paul Pogba for another.
Just to kind of stay on Mkhitaryan briefly, and correct me if you think I'm wrong, and I'm sure you will, De Bruyne seems to get a lot more kind of positive press, I feel anyway, than Mkhitaryan does. Is there a reason for that, if you agree?
I think Kevin De Bruyne is a much more kind of traditional playmaker than maybe Henrik Mkhitaryan, and also Henrik Mkhitaryan is subject to the Mourinho rotation as well, where he gets shifted around all over the place. A lot of the time with Mourinho, I just want him to stick with Henrik Mkhitaryan in the same way Guardiola has made Kevin De Bruyne his kind of centrepiece. I want Mourinho to do the same thing with Mkhitaryan, but it's Mourinho's way that he wants versatile players, so I think that's maybe a factor in that.
Yeah, I think, you know, even just going back to the Liverpool game the weekend, I think it's quite hard to love Mourinho's teams when they're actually at their best, because at the very best they're pragmatic, they can be defensive, and they can always be playing this kind of anti-football to an extent. And in those systems, you have players like Mkhitaryan who aren't really as considered as well, perhaps, as their counterparts. I mean, I think Schneider's a good example of Inter Milan as well, where he was an outstanding attacking player, but he perhaps didn't get the same praise from other attacking midfielders in Europe because he's playing this very defensive, very pragmatic team.
Yeah, I mean, under Mourinho, you look through all his teams, players actually struggle for individual accolades while he is in charge. I mean, even players, I'm thinking Didier Drogba, became a Chelsea legend after Jose Mourinho left, even though he was most successful, you know, under Jose Mourinho. So, I mean, you look at that Liverpool game, as you say, and it's easy to see why Pep Guardiola's team get more accolades, because at times Man United can be just horrendous to watch, but so effective as well.
Yeah, and on top of that, not only is Mourinho's team built around kind of diminishing the importance of individuality, Guardiola's teams actually accentuate that. I know he also plays a similarly compact system, but when you actually listen to the way he tries to define his football, he will try and control a game as long as possible, then rely on individual talent. That's, you know, obviously Messi's a perfect example of that, but that's what he was always trying to do at Bayern Munich. He was always trying to find wingers who could, you know, when they're up against two back lines of five or four defensively, he's looking for that winger who can skip past his marker, and then the whole thing opens up. Mm-hmm. So his entire game is built around having players like De Bruyne and accentuating their ability to turn a game on its head.
I mean, I think, I guess, finally, and it's the answer, the question to answer, how do you stop Man City, or can you stop Man City in this kind of form at the moment?
It's very difficult, and I feel like we might actually have to wait for the first Manchester derby of the season. I feel like the only guy who can maybe stop them is maybe Mourinho. He's got a history of that, and as we saw against Liverpool, Mourinho knows how to choke teams who are excellent in an attacking sense. How you get the better of that team, I'm not quite sure. I think you can stop them, but I don't know how you get the better of them. Maybe the full-back positions, I think, while Kyle Walker and Benjamin Mendy's now injured, of course, so they're a little bit light in that position as well. While they're excellent going forward, defensively, I think they can be found out. But obviously, if you get players into those positions, then you're leaving yourself exposed at the back. I mean, we are getting into the realm with this Man City team of, I remember when Chelsea played Barcelona in the Champions League semi-finals in 2012, and it just seemed like this impossible task to beat Barcelona. And I remember that game vividly because it was such an upset that Chelsea, one of the biggest teams in the Premier League, had beaten Guardiola's Barcelona team. And obviously this Man City team has a long way to go to they reach that level. But in terms of coming up with a tactical game plan, you are getting into the realms of that. How do you get the better of this Guardiola team? I don't think they're far off that.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, like we said earlier in the show, I think it might come down to simply hoping, I guess, sounds a bit sinister, but like that a player like De Bruyne is injured or something, because you can maybe go into the game and think, right, he pulls his strings, and as good as I think Sané and Sterling and, you know, Jesus might be good players individually, I think they still rely on someone to unlock defences for them to a certain extent. But then, you know, if you could take De Bruyne out of the game, you've then got like Silva, you know, who's brought in just as many assists and key passes as De Bruyne this season. So I'm with Green in this one. They are slowly but surely approaching that level of the old Barcelona side where you really do have to look at maybe five or six players and figure out how you can start them all at once.
And have a bit of luck as well. Comes down to that.
Thank you for listening to the Pundits podcast, sponsored by BetBright. We'll be back again next week with another episode.